Amen. I'll tell you the title in a minute, but let's go to John 3:16. If I give you the word, honey, it's okay to come and throw water on me to cool me off. Is that me? Is that this mic? This hum? Okay. Let's read John 3, verses 16 and 17 together. And let's read it like we mean it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Folks, we're in a series, and I believe this is the last lesson, at least for a time, but we're in a series called The Purpose of the Church. And the reason, one of the reasons God told me that he wanted me to teach this series, he said, is because the church has gotten away from its purpose. We've allowed circumstances and things to cause us to think other things instead of who we are and what we should be doing. I mean, we have different, there are people that have different concepts about what the church is. Some think we're a savings and loan association, and that you come and, you know, as you see need, you can come in and get some of your tithe and borrow some of your tithe back. I mean, you were laughing, but we get those calls. And folks, they have all these different thoughts about what the church is and what the church should be doing or shouldn't be doing. And we found out last week that it's really very simple. The church is supposed to be doers of the word and not just hearers only, because we found out that when you are a hearer only, you don't save souls, you ruin them. And we're not here to be soul ruiners. We're here to be what? Go ahead, say it like you mean it. We're here to be soul winners. In Ephesians 9, in the easy to read version, I shared with you that God said his purpose was that all rulers and powers in the heavenly places will know the many different ways he shows his wisdom, and they will know this because of the church. You know, let that sink in for a minute. It's because of the church that rulers will know the wisdom of God. So if you feel we're in a country where rulers don't know the wisdom of God, whose fault is it? Because God's word is true. We are the entity that God established so that this world will know everything about him. And so we have to stop being distracted by circumstances. I shared with you that Jesus told the church its purpose. He said, we're light. We're here to be lights, bringing out the God colors. We're here to be salt, bringing out the God flavors. Then he gave us an identity. He told us in Matthew, he said to Peter, he said, according to the Message Bible, he said, now I'm going to tell you who you really are. He said, on the revelation that Peter received that Jesus is the Christ, he was building his church. And then I saw something at 11:15 last night. And you know, I share that scripture about Jesus saying, whom do you say I? I share that all the time. But I saw something in there last night that I never saw before. See, that's why you keep reading the word and reading it and reading it and reading it. But in that scripture, Jesus said in the Message Bible, and this is Matthew 16, this is around, we're toward the end of it, around verse 18. He said, and now I'm going to tell you who you really are. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. Listen to this. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to keep it out. Now think about this. Jesus said that we are a church, that as the church, we're supposed to have so much energy, and you could say so much power, so much authority. And he didn't say that the gates of hell couldn't keep it out. He said, not even the gates of hell can keep it out. Not even. That's a much more powerful statement, folks, because he's telling us that there are going to be a lot of stuff and things that are going to try and keep you from bringing the word in. And he said, I've given you so much power, I've given you all of this authority, not even the gates of hell will be able to keep you out. We have to understand that and start going in these places that say the word can't come in. Because you have power. You have authority. You have access to the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what you say on earth is what will happen in heaven. We have to understand this, folks, and then we have to start operating like we understand it. Jesus said, not even the gates of hell can keep us out. See, hell knows, you have to think about it. Hell is the very stronghold of the enemy. And that verse is telling us that not even the enemy's stronghold can keep us out. The strongest place that he has, his most fortified place, can't keep us out. So why are we concerned about a school system? Or a job? Or a government building? Nothing should ever stop us. Nothing. We need to believe the song that Ray Jean sings, the blood-bought church. We are in the army of the Lord. We've been washed in his blood, and we are going forth. And there's nothing that can stop this mighty moving force. With a shout, a praise, and a two-edged sword. Then the verse said, every stronghold of bondage must do what? Bow beneath our feet. And every prisoner held captive must be free. The song says, our deliverance has come. Who's the deliverance? The church. Because we bring the message that Jesus saves. Of course the enemy is going to try and shut us up. But see, there's a requirement. Everyone say, I knew it. Okay. There's a requirement. Look at Hebrews 11. And would you read verse 1 with me? You get to Hebrews 11. And please don't lean back on the pew and say, I know this. I heard this before. How many different ways can we say it? Whatever ways it's going to take for you to get it. That's what we're going to do, all right? You there? Let's read verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. See, faith is what is that which brings what you're hoping for into actual existence. That's what faith does. It's the steadfastness of mind. It's the firmness of your position. It's the courage to wait or to continue. That's what faith is. Simply stated, this is what God gave me. Faith is what makes God's word your reality. Faith is what makes God's word your reality. And according to Hebrews 10:38, the church not only has to live by faith, but nothing should ever cause us to back away from the faith. Okay, listen to this. Let's hear that sound. We're gonna play a sound for you. Okay. That shouldn't be you backing away from your faith. Okay. See, because the enemy will come with a circumstance. And you'll hear, play it again. And you start backing away. Okay, you start backing away. But God said in Hebrews 10:38, he says, if any man draw back, My soul shall have no pleasure in him. Listen to how the Common English Bible says it. How many of you speak Common English? Okay. Listen to this. But my righteous one will live by faith, and my whole being won't be pleased with anyone who shrinks back. Everything that makes God God won't be pleased when we back away from our faith. We have to understand that. See, why does the scripture say that the enemy comes? That's right. Because when he comes with those things, you hear this sound. Okay. See, that's what you hear when the doctor is called and told my wife that they didn't know why she was still alive with those cancer markers that high in her body, because they had never seen cancer markers in a living body that high. She didn't hear that sound. You know what she heard? He sent his word and healed me. That's what she heard. She heard, oh, what's that song? Come on, words, you just popped out. You can't do that. She heard the God of angel armies is always by my side. So nothing formed against me shall stand. He has the whole world in his hand. I'm holding on to his promises because you are faithful. That's what she heard. And that's what you need to hear when those reports start coming to you. See, when the devil comes masquerading, when he's telling you that you got laid off from work, you need to hear, but my God shall supply all my needs. See, and not back away because you can't see yourself getting through it. Well, if you could see yourself getting through it, you wouldn't need God. But faith brings God's word as a reality into your life. And we need to receive it as such and act like we believe it. See, when you come to us and you tell us what you believe the Holy Ghost told you to do, and it doesn't bear witness, and we tell you that, you need to not do this. See this song? Do. And back away from, I will give you pastors after my own heart who shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. See, but you just get upset because it's not what you want to hear, and you back away. You back away. You forget that if it's God, it'll happen. Because God said, in due season, you shall reap if you faint not. But when we hear due season, we start backing away because we want due season to be right now. And right now isn't always the right time. So you have to trust. You have to believe that you're in a place where God sent you and that the pastors God gave you are after his own heart for you. And let that become a reality. Someone rubs you the wrong way, you have to stop hearing that backup signal and start hearing a new commandment I give you. Love one another. The same way Jesus loved you, you love one another. See, the devil doesn't want us to do that because we'll be so busy being upset with each other that we forget our purpose. We forget our purpose. We back away. That needs to stop. I'm going to introduce a concept of faith, and I believe if you grab a hold to it, it will absolutely change your life. I got so excited about it. I couldn't wait for Sunday. I was up until 4 a.m. because I kept thinking about it. Kept rolling around in my head. And I thought it was all done. And I, driving here, God started telling me even more about it. And I just got even more excited. The grandchildren in the office, they were coming in and out. I guess the doorbell was ringing. I was so into this, I didn't hear it until Deacon Lee came in and said, the doorbell's making a lot of noise. I had never heard it until he said something because I was just engrossed in hearing what God was telling me. Go to Matthew 8, please. I want to read this account. Nothing new. We've heard this account before. Verse 5 to 10, I'm in the King James Version. And it says, and when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, or Capernaum, whichever way you want to pronounce it is fine, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. What did Jesus say? So Jesus was willing to go and heal the centurion's servant. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I like the New International Reader's translation because it introduces a different element that makes the story, makes this account even more miraculous. It says, when Jesus entered Capernaum, a Roman commander came to him and he asked Jesus for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home and can't move. He's suffering terribly. Jesus said, shall I come and heal him? The commander replied, Lord, I'm not good enough to have you come into my house, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. I myself am a man under authority. I have soldiers who obey my orders. Say they obey his orders. I tell this one to go, he goes. I tell that one come, and he comes. I say to my slave, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed. He said to those following him, what I'm about to tell you is true. In Israel, I have not found anyone whose faith is so strong. The centurion was displaying some very strong characteristics that got the attention of Jesus and got the attention of the circumstance. You think about that. His belief was very different from the usual or traditional. You could say he was extreme. He was favoring an extreme change in the condition of his servant. He was associating with practices that cause extreme change. He advocated extreme measures to restore his servant. And he, when you think about it, what he told Jesus was that this palsy is no different than one of the people that I have charge over. It has to listen to the person that has authority over it. So Jesus, you're the one that has authority over it. So all you have to do is give the order. Just speak the word only, and my servant will be healed. You need to think of that. The circumstance was no different than a slave. It has to obey its master. The problem is we haven't been acting like we're masters over circumstances. We've been acting like they're masters over us. So all of a sudden it comes, side hurt. You go, oh man, my side. Oh Jesus, what am I going to do? Speak to it. Remind who, tell it who's boss. I mean, that's all you have to do. It has to listen, because the word you speak concerning it is backed up by our Savior. The circumstance, no, see, what happens is, folks, is the circumstances treat us just like the demons treated the sons of Sceva. It asked us a question that we couldn't answer. Said, I know Jesus. Who are you? And you do a Jackie Gleason. And meanwhile, it just wreaks havoc on your body, on your life, in your finances. Why? Because we weren't displaying those characteristics. And I didn't create those characteristics. They're the definition of a word. They're the definition of a word, an actual word. And this word, when you put it in front of faith, will have every circumstances making the sound, okay? Instead of you. You know what that word is? Radical. We need to have radical faith. We need to have radical faith. Radical faith says, I don't care how long the child has been without oxygen to their brain. With the stripes of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, she was healed. And I'm not backing up off of that. You got to get in its face and let it know you know what you're talking about. And you don't care what it thinks. Why should I wonder what it's going to do when it leaves. Who cares? All that's important is that it leaves. Have you ever thought about the crowd that was following Jesus? Because you read one translation, it doesn't say the centurion came. It says that he sent someone because he didn't even feel worthy enough to go to Jesus himself. So he said, my people will go see Jesus and tell him this and he'll be healed. Done. But what about the people? These folks had to go and speak to Jesus, and he had all these people following him. What are they going to think about what he said? Did you hear what he said? Yeah, just speak the word only. Doesn't he know Jesus has to go over there and touch him? No, radical faith doesn't need a touch. Radical faith needs a word. Okay? That's all. Radical faith doesn't need to feel, I've been touched. No. All with radical faith, all you need is a word. You've heard me say it before. On three different occasions, someone said to me, you're concerned about your children, especially your sons. Don't be concerned about it. Yes, they're going to go through things, but God is with them and will bring them through. So when I watched them go through stuff, I had a word from the Lord. And it kept my heart strong as I watched them go through things. And I didn't stick my nose in God's business. Did you hear what I just said? Right, we have the means. God has blessed us. But we didn't stick our nose in God's business. Why? Because we are their parents, not their Savior and their Lord. We didn't promise to provide for their every need. God did. If he wanted to choose to provide for them through us, cool, but he had to tell us. We had a word. And when you have a word from God, that is all you need to take it and go. And go. Even if you hear this sound, you ignore it. You know why? Doesn't apply to you. Because you don't move backwards. You go For Paul said, I press towards the mark. He didn't say, I go towards it until I hear a backup signal and I start backing off. Because after all, you know, it's stupid to keep going and you hear something backing up. No, radical faith says, I don't care what's coming in front of me. It'll either have to move or get out of my way. And that's where you need to be with people. As the church, as church members, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Okay? You need to, because we're coming through. And if you're in the way, you're going to be trampled on by feet that was made to trample on the enemy, not the believer. But we can't afford to stop and wait for you to decide to stop backing up and go forward. You need to know you have a word from the Lord. And because you have a word, your faith says, that word is my reality. I don't care about anything else. It doesn't matter if they said no. The word is my reality. And that's all I'm going to lean on. That's all I'm going to look up. Stop looking up symptoms. I'm serious. Stop. That was my downfall. I knew too much about blood pressure. Yeah, it's like faith comes by hearing. I use the same principle about blood pressure. I read so much about it, I started believing its press. And so are some of you. There are two words that I'm learning how to deal with. I'll put it in a positive light. You know what those two words are? They said. They said. I'm like, I don't care what they said. And who are they anyway that they can say anything to me? They are not my God. They didn't die for me. As a matter of fact, they're trying to take the life out of me. And I'm going to concern myself with what they say? I don't think so. Anymore. I'm just being transparent with you. The doctor said, I need to do thus and so. The doctor said, I should be mindful when this happened. The doctor said, what did Jesus say? He said, with his stripes, I'm healed. God said, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Reading and studying symptoms is not going to prosper your soul. So you need to stop doing it. So I need to know what I'm fighting. Who said so? Who said so? We have history that proves that's not necessary. You ever hear of the Korean War? What was the difference between the North Korean and the South Korean? You're a soldier. How do you know? Say, I have to know who I'm fighting. Yeah, tell which one is North Korean? How do you know they have the right uniform on? You don't know. You don't know. What you do know is what God said. See, God will tell you that one's the enemy. God will tell you. But why are we wasting time really studying useless information? Knowing the symptoms and conditions of the problem won't help you solve it. What it'll do is affect your faith and cause you to back away from it because you see it as being impossible. And what you don't realize is it's impossible for you in the natural, but it ain't impossible for God if your faith is radical. Radical faith doesn't back up off of anything. The centurion was operating in that kind of faith. As I said earlier, he didn't need Jesus to come by and give a touch. He just needed a word. That's all. Just give me a word. Give me a word. And he didn't care what the people traveling with Jesus thought about his request. He didn't care. All he cared about was his servant recovering. That's what was important to him. That's all he wanted was his servant to be healed. That's it. Radical faith doesn't need a sign. It doesn't need a confirmation. It doesn't need a touch. All it needs is a word. And this is what God said. Once that word from God is released, radical faith takes that word and runs all over the adversary. That's the kind of faith that he said needs to be in the church. Radical faith doesn't consider the fact that someone was dead 4 days. Radical faith doesn't consider you being face to face with a fiery furnace. Radical faith doesn't care if you're facing someone who's been a warrior from his youth. Radical faith doesn't care if the government and or controlling forces tell you do not teach in the name of Jesus and whip you. Radical faith comes out of the prison and goes into the temple and starts teaching. That's what radical faith does. Radical faith says to, you know what, Nebuchadnezzar, you don't have to tie us up. Just tell us to go and we'll jump in. He wasted good rope and men because they had no concerns about going into the fire. They said, our God will deliver us, O king. That was their attitude. David told Samson, no, I'm taking your head off. And David called it what it was. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Doctor, you have cancer. Who's this uncircumcised Philistine?
Right.
Gonna come against the army of God? Your children have ADD. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That's what radical faith says. Radical faith says, oh, no, the fruit of my womb is blessed. Period. And doesn't let go. I don't care how many backup signals you hear. It keeps on going. It'll outlast the Energizer Bunny. It won't stop because with them, the batteries need, see, our batteries don't need to be changed. They need to be charged. See, that's why the Bible says that it's the renewing of your mind. See, when we're renewing our mind, we're charging our faith batteries so that they're never devoid of power no matter what we come up against. And we have to understand that. Radical faith doesn't consider the beatings you have to take for daring to preach the word. Folks, circumstances will start to back away from you. When you start operating in radical faith because it knows you don't care. So this person doesn't even have sense enough to be concerned about me. And I'm like, that's right. One thing that I don't understand, I didn't understand it about myself when I was doing it, but before I was saved, I wasn't scared of anybody. I didn't study. You want some of me? Here I am. When I was in school and they said, we'll see you after school, I jumped in. No, we're going to take care of this now. Because I have schoolwork to think about. I'm not going to be thinking about you all day. I mean, let's make this easy. Which side of your jaw you want wired? Okay. I mean, and then I'm going to come and wimp out. Once I'm endued with true power, I'm going to wimp out? Not anymore. Oh, no. You want some of this? Come on. But you need to understand something. You're not just fighting me. My Father is greater than I. And he's the one that sent me, and he's the one that promised to keep me. So you need to consider your outcome before you try and take a piece of me, because when you try and take a piece of me, you're going to get all of him. That's what radical faith says, folks. Radical faith doesn't forget who it is in a crisis. Oh, no. Radical faith operates on strong convictions and extreme principles. Extreme. And folks say, whoa, you're extreme about this. You better believe it. How can you believe something and not be extreme? I mean, if you're not extreme, what are you? Are you extreme about who you are as an individual? I mean, that's why there's some folks that they're having issues with their gender. They don't have extreme belief as to who they are. Who are they going to learn it from? The church. Unless the church starts waffling because they don't know who they are. You know, they're saying that this is a law now and that, yeah, well, let them try and get married in here. We love you. We'll do everything that the word tells us to do to help you get your direction, your directional system corrected. Whatever's, we'll do that. But marry you? As a matter of fact, we're going to play this sound for you. Okay? As you back on up out of here. Because you're not coming in here with that stuff. Okay? So that's extreme. Yes. It is. But my Father's extreme. And he said he made me in his image and after his likeness. So why should he be extreme and I'm a wimp? God's not a wimp. Yeah, I'll say it, Lord. God's not a wuss. Okay. And we have to stop having Pastor Keith Moore said, he said, I was dealing with these are sissy Christians. That's what he said. He said, what's with this? They're running around and, you know, and they're not believing. He said, they're just sissy Christians. Hey, you called me a sissy when I was growing up. Them's fighting words in my country. Okay. But we need to be like that centurion and see circumstances as no different than being a slave, no different than being anyone who reports to us. We need to see it that way. It has to do what I say. Didn't Jesus tell us, if you say to the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt, shall not back away from it, but believe that what you said will come to pass, but believe that what you said is reality, you'll have whatsoever you say. We need to grab hold of that. We need to understand that. And most of all, we need to start putting it into practice. And you will see your life change. Radically change. Radically faith, simply believe. I'm going to say this and I'm going to quit. Radical faith simply believes everything Jesus said. Radical faith believes we are everything Jesus said we are. Radical faith believes we can do everything Jesus told us to do. So the question is, Do you have radical faith? I mean, that's the question. And that's not a question that you can answer verbally. It isn't. Because faith, like love, is an action. Faith without works is dead. Faith without the actions that prove you have faith is dead. Exclamation point. Please stand on your feet. Do you believe in God the Father?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you believe he's given you new life?
Yes.
Okay, so then we're going to sing this song. And after we sing the song, I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you a question. Hallelujah. How many of you believe? Say, I believe.
I believe.
Now I have a question for you. What is it that's causing you to make this sound? What? No, they thought I was finished with it. You know what's causing you to do that. I don't know. And I don't need to know. But you know. This is what the Lord says. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what the Lord says. Are you going to allow that to become your reality? You think about what you may be going through physically. And some of you would think, you may come to church saying, oh, I hope they have a healing line. Or, see, me? I want Reverends Ken and Ann Durant to come. And there's nobody here that needs any healing or a miracle because you believe to the point where it's already done. And people you meet in the street, you speak the word, and they get healed. So we just come here and have a worship and praise party. That's what I believe. But it doesn't matter if I believe it. Do you believe it? Because if you are going through something in your body, you need to go out there and into the bookstore and get "It is written for my healing" and speak the word. And let those scriptures become your reality, and your healing will manifest. Why do I say that? I believe. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe he's given us new life. I believe the Bible says we are new creatures in Christ Jesus. I believe old things are passed away and all things have become new. So why are you still carrying that post-saved baggage? Why are you carrying your post-saved hurts? Why are you doing that? Do you believe you are a new creature in Christ Jesus? Do you believe that word? Do you believe Psalm 23 where God says, I restore your soul? Then get radical and stop being a victim and start being victorious. Because I'm telling you something, folks. Pastor Sarah said this several years ago. God has already did everything that he's going to do. He's already done it. He's not sending Jesus back to the cross. Jesus isn't going to take any more stripes for us. Peter's not going to deny Jesus anymore. You have to start getting radical about this word and believe and act like you believe every word that it says. Every word. I stopped wearing a knee brace. I stopped wearing it. And I'm going to stop talking about I got to lose weight. And lose it. Talking about it doesn't make it go. You know what? Talking about it causes you to gain weight. So how do you say that? You get hungry because you waste so much energy talking about it. You got to eat something. But I said, you know something, Lord? Yes, I need to lose weight. My body is not used to carrying around this weight. But I don't recall seeing in your word where the devil has the right to touch my knees because I'm too heavy. I haven't seen that. Jesus said, I give you power over snakes and scorpions and over all the power that the enemy possesses. And then he goes on to say, nothing shall by any means harm you. I didn't see, unless you eat too much. I didn't see because you missed doing your confessions this morning. I didn't see because you were angry with your brother in Christ. I didn't see that. We add those things to it, and it causes us to back away. Well, I guess I better put this brace on because nothing's going to happen until I lose weight. Fertilizer. No, when I started believing and speaking to it, it started acting right. It's just that simple. When you act like you believe, you get results. When you don't act like you believe, you'll get results. Just not the results you want. So you have to decide. You have to choose. We're talking about that with our grandchildren, about making choices. You have to choose whether or not you're going to have radical faith or you're going to doubt the rest of your life. Because there is no in between. See, I looked it up when Jesus said, oh, ye of little faith. Why did he say little faith? They weren't believing. So he said, no, I got little faith. Yeah, well, you're not going to make it. Because if it wasn't for Jesus, those with little faith would have drowned. You think about that. You need to get radical about what you believe based on what God has said. So you go, go to the bookstore, get It Is Written. I don't care if it's one scripture. When they told me I had a pulmonary embolism, God said, every waking moment, this is what I want you to say. And every waking moment, I said it. 7 o'clock the following morning, the pulmonary specialist was apologizing for admitting me. He said, I looked at the scan. Your lungs are clear. Well, what was my confession? All sickness and disease is a curse of the law. Jesus Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Pulmonary embolisms are a curse of the law. Jesus Christ has redeemed me from pulmonary embolisms. Therefore, my lungs are clear. 7 o'clock the following morning. Your lungs, Pastor, they say, Reverend, I apologize. I'm like, what are you apologizing for? He said, I don't know why you're here. I'm like, what are you talking about? He said, I looked at the scan. Your lungs are clear. But it didn't matter to God that the technician and three other pulmonary specialists looked at the same scan and said, there's an embolism. And because it doesn't mean anything to God, it shouldn't mean anything to you either. But I did something. And this is what you have to remember. Father, what do you want me to do after my wife calmed me down? I said, Father, what do you want me to do about what they just said? And God said, let them do what they want. Let them do what they want. They want to stick needles in my stomach. He said, let them do what they want. But this is what you say. I said it. God settled it. I had it. God's not a respecter of persons, folks. So whatever it is that's troubling you, believe the word. Henceforth, let no man trouble me, because in my body I bear the marks of Jesus Christ. Deal with that, devil. Hallelujah, I'm going to hook. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise, Lord, because you deserve it. You're the only one who deserves the praise, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sharing with us this morning and making it so clear and so plain, Lord. Your word is to be our reality. Your word, our reality. What you say is so. Period. Lord, give us all the revelation we need about that concept, about that truth. Because, Lord, I did my part. I gave them the knowledge. You have to give them the revelation as to what all of this means to them in their circumstance so that they'll believe and start operating in radical faith, extreme faith. Faith that doesn't believe anything negative. Faith that will only accept what your word says as being truth. Faith that doesn't concern itself with facts, but draws its strength from the truth. Thank you, Lord, for all that you are and all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you.